From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
I'm going to stick with this subject, but go ahead.
The fact that Israel may be now launching a limited operation into Lebanon. Are you aware of that? Are you comfortable with their plans?
I'm more aware than you might know, and I'm comfortable with them stopping. We should have a ceasefire now.
That was President Joe Biden earlier today, once again calling for a ceasefire now that Israel has Hezbollah on the run. Welcome to this Monday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Well, despite the administration's continued calls for a ceasefire, Israel is pressing forward against the Hezbollah terrorist organization, eliminating more of their leadership over the weekend and preparing for a ground assault. We'll have a live report from Israel from Daniel Cohen, news director for Real Life Network. Is Iran reaching a tipping point as its proxies falter?
When Iran is finally free, and that moment will come a lot sooner than people think, everything will be different. Our two ancient peoples, the Jewish people and the Persian people, will finally be at peace. Our two countries, Israel and Iran, will be at peace. When that day comes, the terror network that the regime built in five continents will be bankrupt, dismantled.
That was Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu earlier today speaking directly to the citizens of Iran. We'll discuss this with Florida Congressman Mike Waltz, a member of both the House Intelligence Committee and the House Foreign Affairs Committee. In the southeastern United States, the devastation from Hurricane Helene is mounting. The death toll has now exceeded 100 and continues to rise. Millions of homes remain without power, drinking water, and communications.
As of this morning, about 2 million people are still without power across the impacted states. At least 50,000 personnel from 31 states and D.C. and Canada are responding to power outages throughout the region.
That was Homeland Security Advisor Elizabeth Sherwood Randall speaking earlier today about the administration's response. North Carolina has been hit particularly hard by flooding. Our friends at Samaritan's Purse are literally at ground zero, providing relief efforts in their own community of Boone, North Carolina. They're also operating in several other affected areas. Edward Graham will join us with an update. Georgia Power reports that Helene was the most destructive storm in its history, damaging over 5,000 electric poles in the state and 425 miles of wire. We're going to talk with Georgia Congressman Buddy Carter about what a government shutdown might have looked like had the House not passed emergency funding before leaving town last week. And, folks, there's still time to make your plans to join us here in Washington, D.C. for the urgent call for the Pray Vote Stand Summit starting this Thursday evening with a worship service and messages from Pastor Carter Conlon of Times Square Church, Bishop Vincent Matthews, and our good friend Mike Huckabee. Also on Thursday night, Michelle Bachmann, former congresswoman from Minnesota, Daniel Cohen, Dr. A.J. Nolte of Regent University, and I will discuss the situation in Israel, its political and spiritual significance. To register, visit PrayVoteStand.org. That's PrayVoteStand.org. Following a weekend in which the IDF delivered sustained air attacks against Hezbollah in Lebanon, Israeli military reservists have now gathered in northern Israel in preparation for a potential ground maneuver into Lebanon. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has convened ministers from his country's security cabinet, leading to further chatter that such an incursion is imminent. Joining me now to discuss this is Congressman Mike Waltz. He serves on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence and the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He represents the 6th Congressional District of Florida. He's the author of a new book coming out later this month, Hard Truths, Think and Lead Like a Green Beret. Congressman Mike Waltz, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Tony, always.
Before we get to the Middle East, let's talk about Florida. You, right there in Florida, you were in the path of the hurricane. Give us your assessment on the ground there in Florida.
Well, we had the outer winds. I'm on the East Coast. It's always a dangerous time. In Florida, the biggest concern is the storm surge and how much water the storm pushes on shore. And then, as we're seeing with our brothers and sisters in the Carolinas and in Georgia, it's how slow it moves and how much water it dumps, particularly in the highlands, as we're seeing now in North Carolina. I mean, it sounds obvious, Tony, but all that water flows downhill and leaves a path of destruction in its wake. I think we have to come together as churches, as communities, as neighbors, and help each other out. And a quick shout out to my fellow Congressman Corey Mills, who literally got on his own helicopter full of supplies and is heading north. We're going to help each other more as fellow Americans. Government can't fix everything. We've got to come together as a community.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was talking with some of your colleagues over the weekend who are not necessarily accustomed to these natural disasters as we are back home in Louisiana, where we have a very tight network of churches that actually jump into action before the government even gets moving. And of course, we coordinate very closely with the local government.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. I think we've gotten a little complacent thinking that this is all of government's role. There's a role for it. There's certain things that only government can do. But this is something all of us need to lean into.
Well, and just also, as always, let's remember our first responders and our National Guardsmen and women. I mean, they have families at home, too. That they're leaving to fend for themselves while they put their lives on the line, literally to rescue and aid others. And I mean, that is the appropriate role for government, coming in to do what neighbors and communities can't do for themselves. But you're right. I remember Hurricane Katrina, when so many churches banded together in the wake of that in Louisiana. But us, the coastal communities, kind of have it on, I don't want to say autopilot, but they hit the hurricane button and things and supplies literally snap into place. I think some of our neighbors that are further inland aren't just naturally, it's not a criticism, aren't quite as prepared. And this one was truly devastating.
Well, I don't say that it's a good thing that we are prepared, because we have to live through it so often, but it is a good thing that we are. And we all need to be praying for our entire country and all of those affected. This is a massive, massive storm. And the effect will be years in the recovery. I want to move to the Middle East. I want to move to the president repeatedly. We've seen this last week, over the weekend, on all the TV show, the talk shows, and then again today, the president calling for a ceasefire. This is when Israel has Hezbollah on the run. Why would we tell them to stop now?
Yeah, that's the problem, Tony, is we never let Israel finish the job. And they have conducted a series of brilliant, masterful, bold, covert and overt actions that has one of the world's worst terrorist organizations on the run and on its back foot, decapitated. And Nasrallah, by the way, the head of Hezbollah, is right there on par with Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, Osama bin Laden, the head of al-Qaeda, responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Americans, tortured, literally skinned alive a CIA station chief, William Buckley, in the 80s, bombed a hotel in Saudi Arabia that killed even more of our service members. This is on top of Beirut. So Americans truly have stake in this, aside from our morals and values with our ally Israel. Let them finish the job. However, Tony, as you've said repeatedly, and so have I, that these are tactical victories on behalf of Israel that has clearly made a decision. We're going it alone. Biden's people just try to talk us out of it, so they didn't even tell us. But the strategic victory lies in Tehran. And as long as they are flush with cash, they will help Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis rebuild. It may take a matter of years now instead of months because of Israel's victory, but they've essentially bought themselves time. Until we deal with Tehran, and that is drying up their cash and helping the Iranian people that are seeking freedom, like Mahsa Amini, the Kurdish woman who was killed for not wearing a hijab. Until we do those two things, that essentially Israel's bought itself time. America has to step in, shift policy on Iran, go back to maximum pressure as President Trump had in place.
Well, it sounds like Prime Minister Netanyahu plans on finishing business as he sets his sights on Iran. But I want to address one thing I think is the duplicity of the Biden administration calling for a ceasefire. Isn't that what was in place with the United Nations Resolution 1701 going
That's
back
right.
to 2006, which Israel complied with, moving their military back from the border there with Lebanon, but Hezbollah had not complied primarily?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. In the wake of the 2006 war between Hezbollah and Israel, the UN mandated a demilitarized zone in southern Lebanon that would allow Israelis to live in peace, except Israel abided by it, and Hezbollah did not. The UN actually has a force there that is completely feckless, if not complicit. Yet one more issue with the UN in the Middle East. And so Israel is going to have to move Hezbollah back by force. And I tell you what, for anyone who criticizes them, ask them if this would be the equivalent of 2 to 3 million Americans pushed off of our border, getting rocketed and hit with artillery shells every day. We wouldn't stand for it,
right.
Neither should the Israelis.
I want you to juxtapose the two fronts that they're fighting on, about five fronts right now, but I want to compare how they were forced to deal with Hamas in Gaza because America's leadership basically tied their hands behind their back. Compare that, 12 months still fighting in Gaza to the 2 weeks they basically have executed these, as you describe, brilliant operations in Lebanon.
Well, I think in fairness, an objective look at the situation, Israeli intelligence was caught flat-footed, off guard, blindsided by Hamas coming out of Gaza the way it did. The reckoning still has to happen, but it was their worst failure since 9/11, or a 9/11 style failure on Israel's part. I think they've learned from that. They also learned from the 06 war with Lebanon as it pertains to Hezbollah in the north. They clearly fully penetrated their organization, had a number of covert options in place that they pulled off masterfully. And now for them to actually go in on the ground in southern Lebanon is going to be much easier for them because Hezbollah has just been wiped out in terms of its leadership. But again, those are tactical victories. They're important ones. The strategic one is in Tehran.
Final question for you. Got about 45 seconds left.
Sure.
Is this the time for Israel to strike Tehran?
I think this is a moment to not only eliminate this threat off of Israel's northern border, but to also completely reset things for Lebanon, which is completely devolved into a failed third world state under Hezbollah's oppressive leadership. So I think this is a moment to reset the calculus in the Middle East, if only Israel had a partner in the White House that would put appropriate pressure on Iran, which is going to continue to pour arms and cash into these terrorist groups.
All right, Congressman Mike Waltz, we're out of time. We did not get to your book that's coming out on the 22nd of October, but here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you come back on. We're going to talk about that in the next couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks, Tony.
All right, take care. Congressman Mike Waltz of Florida. More of a reason to pray when you look at the global instability, and a lot of it comes right back here to the United States and our lack of strong, clear leadership. It's a reminder we need to pray, vote, and stand. After the break, Georgia Congressman Buddy Carter joins me. Don't go away.
Are you a Christian parent looking to raise a spiritual champion in today's culture? Renowned author George Barna has written a new book, Raising Spiritual Champions. This book offers valuable insights based on extensive research conducted by George Barna, the Family Research Council, and Arizona Christian University. Learn how to help your children discern biblical truth and find compelling meaning and purpose. Don't miss out on this essential resource for parents. Order your copy today.
Hello, I'm Jody Heiss, president of FRC Action. Here in America, we thank God for the right to vote. And we can all agree on the importance of this upcoming election. Many of us want to support candidates who share our values, but we're not comfortable supporting the big national political organizations. Well, we have a solution for supporting candidates through FRC Action's Faith, Family, and Freedom Fund. Being a super PAC, It allows for unlimited individual and corporate donations, so we can endorse and fund campaigns for people who share our values. By giving to this fund, we're able to pull all of our contributions together and support and endorse like-minded candidates. That's how we move the needle. So let's be the best stewards possible and get the most out of our political contributions by uniting our efforts. For more information or to contribute, visit faithfamilyfreedomfund.org. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
All of us are born with the desire to find truth and meaning. Where did I come from? What happens when I die? While our answers to these questions may divide us, we are united in our need for the freedom to answer life's biggest questions and make life's biggest decisions for ourselves. That's why religious freedom matters for everyone. Religious freedom matters because the powerful have long wanted to control those who are less powerful. Religious freedom matters because the freedom of those who are different is often threatened by those who believe different is dangerous. At the Center for Religious Liberty at Family Research Council, we promote religious freedom for everyone because the only alternative is religious freedom for no one. We encourage Americans and the American government to engage and advocate for the persecuted, and they do. We work every day to bring good news to the afflicted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. We do it because that's what Jesus does. We work to give freedom to others because we ourselves have been set free.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Again, this coming week actually starts Thursday night, the Pray Vote Stand Summit. I urge you to come and join us as we pray for our nation, as we prepare for the elections, and as we commit to one another and to the Lord that we're going to stand for biblical truth no matter what. Find out more, go to prayvotestand.org. Hurricane Helene made landfall at Florida's Gulf Coast last week, carving a path through Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, and Tennessee that led to record-setting flooding and more than 100 deaths so far. The recovery effort is continuing as the region responds to unprecedented destruction. Join me now to discuss this, Congressman Buddy Carter. He's a member of the House Budget Committee and the House Committee on Energy and Commerce. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Georgia. Congressman Carter, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
So you, your state, your region, you are all now in the recovery mode since the hurricane passed through last week. Give us a description of the situation.
Well, Tony, it is devastating. This is my home. This is where I'm from, South Georgia. And I will tell you, this is the worst I've ever seen. Never seen anything quite like this. The number of trees that are down, the power that's out all across the state. I mean, this was a devastating natural event that happened here. And certainly this is on the heels of Hurricane Debbie, after we already had flooding in our area. And now we have this and potentially another storm that's brewing in the Caribbean right now. So, we got to be aware of that as well. But out of all things like this, there are good things that come about. And I cannot say enough good things about our emergency management personnel and the work that they've done. And I want to mention Leon Davis, a firefighter from Pierce County in Blackshear, Georgia, in our district, who was in his truck, who was trying to help people, and a tree fell on his truck and killed him. And our thoughts and prayers are certainly going out to his family.
Yeah, I know, buddy. We're going to hear lots of stories of those first responders. I know my son's a police officer in Georgia, in North Georgia. They didn't get hit as hard, but just the first responders, people take them for granted being out there during these times. Everyone else is hunkered down. The other aspect of this, Congressman Carter, is that, you know, there's going to be news focused on this because this is a historic storm. It's huge. But in a couple of weeks, it's going to move on. But this recovery is going to be years.
It is going to be years, Larry, Tony. And don't forget that, you know, agriculture has been impacted by this. Blueberries, peanuts, pecans, all of that. And agriculture is the number one industry in the state of Georgia. Our farmers are really going to suffer as a result of this. And you're absolutely right. Now and in the coming weeks is going to be when FEMA, when the federal government really needs to step forth. And I can't say enough good things about President Trump, who came down here today to visit our area and offer his help, bringing nonprofits and private companies down to help. And that means so much to these people. Right now, we need a boost. Right now, we need a shot in the arm. And with him coming down here and showing his support, that really helped.
Yeah, I know he's down there with Franklin Graham. In fact, in 2016, when I was pastoring in Baton Rouge and we flooded during the campaign, Donald Trump came down again with Samaritan's Purse, was operating there. Franklin was with us. I want to ask you this question, Congressman Carter, because the last thing that Congress did before you left town last week was to pass a continuing resolution to continue government funding. There were some that wanted to shut the government down, not fund it. Can you imagine what the situation would be like today if the government had been shut down?
I cannot imagine. Look, people are hurting right now. And not only, you know, a government shutdown is just not good. Our soldiers don't, our troops don't get paid. FEMA had run out of money. There was $20 billion more in that continuing resolution to help them get through. That's going to be very important in upcoming weeks as we try to help the people recover from Helena. All of that is extremely important. So, you know, I'm just so glad we've got it through December the 20th, and now we need to address it in the future.
Yeah, and we need to get back to the regular order of passing appropriations bills, but I think Congress made the right move in making sure that government continued, especially when we even knew that this storm was brewing out there in the Gulf, and as you mentioned, even another storm possibly coming. What would you recommend to our viewers and listeners in terms of ways to help?
Well, there are great ways to help. Obviously, the Red Cross has been down here, and they've been helping. A number of relief organizations are active in our area, and certainly anything that you can do. But most importantly, Tony, your prayers. Please pray for all Georgians. Please pray for everyone who's been impacted by this horrible, horrible storm.
Yeah, we absolutely are and will. Congressman Buddy Carter, I want to thank you for joining us. And we're praying for you and for your district and, in fact, all the folks there in Georgia. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Thank you, Tony.
You know, we can all do something. In fact, we're going to be talking next. Edward Graham is going to be joining us from Samaritan's Purse. This storm literally hit right in Boone, where Samaritan's Purse is located. And so we're going to be talking with Edward here in just a moment. They've done such tremendous work at Samaritan's Purse. But we all need to pray. Now, I believe God may be getting our attention. When you look back, and we often quote from 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Well, that was connected to a prayer that Solomon had prayed to God, connecting when certain things happen, most of them natural disasters, as God getting the attention of the children of Israel. And so Solomon said, if that happens and we turn to this temple and pray, will you hear our prayers? And God responded and said, yes. When you look at what's happening in our nation, increasingly we've seen over the last couple of decades the intensity of these storms building and building. Could it be that God is trying to get our attention? I'm not saying for individual particular people or states, but just collectively as a nation, is God trying to get our attention? We just think we're going to spend our way out of this? More money? $35 trillion in debt. How big do the storms have to get our attention? It's time we pray. And that's one of the things we'll be doing this week at the Pray Vote Stand Summit. So I encourage you, if you can make it, come here to our nation's capital for the Pray Vote Stand Summit this Thursday. To find out more, go to prayvotestand.org. Well, as I mentioned, the recovery efforts from Hurricane Helene continue. And Edward Graham is going to join me next. to discuss what Samaritan's Purse is doing, not just in North Carolina, but literally around the country, and how you can be a part of it. We all have a part to play in the body of Christ. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch after this.
Everything we do begins as an idea. Before there can be acts of courage, there must be the belief that some things are worth sacrificing for. Before there can be marriage, there is the idea that man should not be alone. Before there was freedom, there was the idea that individuals are created equal. It's true that all ideas have consequences, but we're less aware that all consequences are the fruit of ideas. Before there was murder, there was hate. Before there was a Holocaust, there was the belief by some people that other people are undesirable. Our beliefs determine our behavior, and our beliefs about life's biggest questions determine our worldview. Where did I come from? Who decides what is right and wrong? What happens when I die? Our answers to these questions explain why people see the world so differently. Debates about abortion are really disagreements about where life gets its value. Debates over sexuality and gender and marriage are really disagreements about whether the rules are made by us or for us. What we think of as political debates are often much more than that. They're disagreements about the purpose of our lives and the source of truth. As Christians, our goal must be to think biblically about everything. Our goal is to help you see beyond red and blue, left and right, to see the battle of ideas at the root of it all. Our goal is to equip Christians with a biblical worldview and help them advance and defend the faith in their families, communities, and the public square. Cultural renewal doesn't begin with campaigns and elections. It begins with individuals turning from lies to truth. But that won't happen if people can't recognize a lie and don't believe truth exists. We want to help you see the spiritual war behind the political war, the truth claims behind the press release, and the forest from the trees.
To Washington Watch. Thanks for joining us on this Monday. Well, Hurricane Helene made landfall on Florida's coast last week before turning inland with a path of destruction throughout Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, and Tennessee that we've not seen the likes of in decades. Communities located hundreds of miles from Helene's initial landfall continue to feel the impact of this huge storm as the death toll has reached more than 100. And thousands deal with the flooding and the mudslides. The rescue efforts remain underway, even as much of the region remains without power, food, gasoline, cell service. This is quite significant. Joining me now to discuss the impact of this storm and the relief effort underway is Edward Graham, Chief Operating Officer for Samaritan's Purse. Edward, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for always having us on. Appreciate it.
Well, Edward, this storm's a bit different, not only in its size and scope, but, I mean, it's right there in your front yard.
Yes, sir, and I'm dressed the way I am because I was just across the street at an employee's house. This is an employee. I grew up with her husband, and her mother-in-law is a longtime family friend of ours. We grew up in the same church and completely destroyed homes. You know, bottom floors of their homes gone. And we've got a lot of employees with homes like that. So this is our community here in Boone, North Carolina. Our headquarters is here, but we're already after it volunteering. We had hundreds here in Boone alone at our location here, but we're also set up in Asheville, and that's where the headquarters, you know, my grandfather's ministry started. It's where the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center, is there. So we have volunteers that are housed there, and they're already going out. And we're in two places in Florida, Tampa and Perry. And then we're also in Valdosta, Georgia, where Dad is today with former President Trump. So the volunteers are already going out, and we're getting after it. But this one's a little different because it hits home.
And Edward, that's on top of what we talked about last week. You're still operating. I know in my home state of Louisiana, you're down in Houma. You're out on the West Coast. So this is just more on top of what you're already doing.
Yes, sir. God gives us great resources, equipment, but He gives us His best in people. We've got an incredible staff and awesome volunteers that always want to go out and serve during a time of crisis. And that's what I saw here in my own hometown. You know, you've had your own home and hometown hit, Tony. You know the feeling. is emotional for me, but this is the strongest start I've ever seen at a morning send-off here in Boone. The gymnasium at the local church that I attend, it was jam-packed, and hundreds went out, to include, I have my own staff out today serving other staff members.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't have to slow down. It's not like we hit the brakes. We got work to do.
Yeah, it's. I find that, and unfortunately, we've experienced these much too often. But these storms are the worst of times and the best of times, because you do see communities come together and you see people serve one another. So I've already gotten calls, Edward. People wanting to know how can we help, because Louisiana, we're accustomed to this, and we know other states not so much so. And so how can people right now begin helping with the relief that Samaritan's Purse is bringing?
Yeah, you know, we're ready for snow blizzards usually up here, not necessarily rains like this. But if people want to help, pray, get on your knees. I'm a firm believer in the power of prayer. I'm here today, and I'm a product of prayer. But if you want to interest, I'd really love for you to volunteer. We have so many locations. We have thousands of work orders that are going to come out of this and all these locations. So if you live somewhere nearby or you're wanting to travel, go. You know, go and sign up at our website, samaritanspurse.org, or you can, or samaritanspurse.com, or you can go to spvolunteer.org, and you can get on there, and it will show you how to get involved in these locations. But we're also not just responding with our normal disaster relief here that we do in the U.S. We're also doing medical. We've deployed some oxygen capabilities to two local hospitals here in the high country, and then one of them has asked us for a tier one hospital that's being set up today. So we even have we need North Carolina medical staff. They're part of our DART. They're already signed up. There's a special process for that, but they're licensed here in North Carolina. So they're already serving and will be taking patients hopefully by tomorrow morning.
I mean, Edward, the way I see Samaritan's Purse, I've worked alongside you guys many times, hosted at our church. It's FEMA with a heart. It is with a purpose, and you're bringing help to people who might not get it, and you're doing it so in the love of Christ. And the impact of this is felt long after the storm is cleaned up and it's over, is because people's lives are transformed. Not only the people who are served by the volunteers, but the volunteers' lives are changed as well.
Yes, sir. And I've got a lot of a local community that's out volunteering with us today that's never been out with Samaritan's Purse before. They know us because we're local. But I already know the stories that are going to come back. They're going to be changed forever. It helps them grieve. There's also a lot of survivor's guilt. So when they get to go out and help their neighbor that maybe lost everything, it's part of that process, be able to talk to them. But these homeowners are going to realize they're not forsaken. They're not forgotten about. God was not angry with them. God loves them. He loved them so much he sent his only son. And that's why Samaritan's Purse goes, is to share the love of Christ. It's not to do good work. We want to do great work and have great quality equipment. But it's to share the gospel. And that's what we appreciate, the opportunity. This one hurts. They all do. This one's a little special and personal to us at Samaritan's Purse. But we're great. We're going to take care of our staff. And we're going to go out and serve the community in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, and Edward, our prayers are with you. And we're also going to encourage as many people as we can to volunteer and come alongside you, because again, as I know from personal experience, there's not a wasted moment. The best organized, efficient effort I've ever seen among volunteer organizations like this. So, Edward, we're going to be checking back in with you later in the week to see how things are going, but thanks for taking time to join us today.
Tony, thanks for highlighting. We love your ministry. We pray for you all the time, so thank you.
Thank you, Edward. Tell your father I said hey.
I will.
And folks, I do want to encourage you to pray for all of those that have been in the path of this storm, because it is widespread. But then pray about how the Lord might use you to come alongside and minister with an outstanding organization like Samaritan's Purse. Or maybe you donate. You can go to their website and donate as well. All right, don't go away. When we come back, Daniel Colon joins me from Israel.
Join us October 3rd through the 6th as we gather with spiritually active, governance-engaged conservatives from across America at the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit in Washington, D.C. We'll pray for our nation, engage in government and culture, and stand for biblical truth alongside Christian leaders, worldview experts, and government officials. We'll discuss important issues like the sanctity of life, religious freedom, protecting students, strengthening families, praying for our nation, and how you can impact America's future from a biblical worldview. Our nation stands at a critical juncture, and we must ensure that the issues impacting faith, family, and freedom are understood and advanced. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org. That's PrayVoteStand.org.
Jesus said in John 15, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." In 2024, in these divided and uncertain times, how can this be possible? By abiding in Him through His Word. At Family Research Council, we want to help you do that, which is the reason for the Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. In just 10 to 15 minutes each day, you will have read the entire Bible in just 2 years. But more importantly, you will be abiding in Him daily. Find our Bible reading plan at frc.org/Bible. And join Tony Perkins each weekday for a 10-minute devotional inspired by the daily reading and designed to encourage you on this journey through the Bible. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. All right, coming up this Thursday night, beginning Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and ending Sunday morning with a worship service is the Pray Vote Stand Summit here in our nation's capital. There's still room for you, so if you'd like to find out more, go to PrayVoteStand.org to register and to get more information. Occasionally, people comment on how often I bring up the Bible and the gospel. In fact, years ago, I filled in as a host on a large nationwide Christian radio network, and my time there didn't last long, though, because the producer felt I was too Christian. Well, I guess I'm guilty, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Paul wrote, it is the power of God for salvation. And I've witnessed that power firsthand. As a young boy, when our family began attending church, I saw the gospel transform my parents' lives. Well, years later, I witnessed that same power at work in an even more dramatic way in the life of my aunt and my uncle when they came to know the Lord. Their lives were radically transformed. And I saw the difference because as a young boy, I spent a lot of my summers on their farm as a kid. I loved to be on the farm. And they were totally changed by the gospel. Well, this past Friday, my aunt, Dean Miller, went to be with the Lord after a short battle with an aggressive cancer. She had the wisdom of Solomon, understanding that this life only makes sense in light of eternity. She was a faithful viewer of Washington Watch and a supporter of the Family Research Council. In fact, Aunt Dean tuned in to NRB-TV for her final episode of Washington Watch this past Thursday. Early Friday morning, she joined that great cloud of witnesses watching the rest of us run this race called life. And I think she would say this: consider the brevity of life and run with a focus on the prize set before us. And I would ask you to pray for Melvin Miller. After 67 years of marriage, he faces a difficult task of filling a tremendous void. And speaking of that wisdom of Solomon, our word for today comes from Ecclesiastes 2 and 3. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanities of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Vanity of vanities, a phrase that means futility, uselessness, emptiness. It appears 35 times in 29 verses in Ecclesiastes. Solomon, reflecting on his life, saw that without God, everything is temporary and unfulfilling. There's another key phrase you must understand and that we find in Ecclesiastes, under the sun. It captures the emptiness of life without God on this earth. To sum it up, life under the sun is empty unless you're living in the sun. Let me repeat that. Life under the sun, S-U-N, is empty unless you're living in the sun, S-O-N. And here's a spoiler alert. The conclusion of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says this in the last chapter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. In the end, Solomon found that everything apart from God is futile. Our lives find meaning only in revering God and obeying his word. To join me in this journey through the Bible, text Bible to 67742. Well, following the recent death of Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah, Israel announced today its military has killed Fatah Sharifa, a Hamas leader in Lebanon, to coordinate, with Hezbollah. Military officials confirmed that commando units had made incursions into Lebanese territories, but say no decision has been made regarding a full ground assault, even as the barrage against Hezbollah continues. Israel has also begun targeting Houthi fighters in Yemen, fighting back at another Iranian-backed terrorist militia. Now, this comes as the Biden administration is once again trying to tie the hands of Israel.
I'm going to stick with this subject, but go ahead.
The fact that Israel may be now launching a limited operation into Lebanon. Are you aware of that? Are you comfortable with their plans?
I'm more aware than you might know, and I'm comfortable with them stopping. We should have a ceasefire now.
That was President Joe Biden earlier today, again, calling for a ceasefire. Joining me now from Israel to discuss this is Daniel Cohen, news director for Real Life Network, a sponsor of this year's Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. Daniel, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's a pleasure to be with you here, Tony, and it's a pleasure to be with Washington Watch. And best to you and everybody at FRC, and also my condolences to your family and to your loss.
Thank you. And look forward to seeing you at the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. I know you're going to be traveling across the ocean here shortly. So let's talk about the latest there in Israel. Big weekend, a lot happening, and it does not look like anything slowing down.
No, Tony. You know, even in the setup, what you were just mentioning, there were about five major headlines in any other place, but in Israel, they're basically, it's a headline for an hour, and then it gets pushed aside. The person that you were talking about, the Hamas commander who was killed in Lebanon by Israel, he was actually on UNRWA's payroll. Let me say that again. The Hamas commander, Fateh, and I'm sorry, I can't do his name justice, but you mentioned in the intro to me and the toss here, was on UNRWA's payroll. UNRWA is an organization that's supposed to be helping civilians in Gaza with food, water, the basic necessities of life, not supposed to be helping terrorists. Israel found computers, they found entire server systems under the UNRWA, in tunnels under the UNRWA facility. It's unbelievable. You know, it's unbelievable. But getting back to your question about President Biden, I'm not even surprised anymore, Tony. I'm not surprised because the United States has been hampering Israel's efforts to defeat Hamas and to eradicate the radical Islamic terrorists that are hell-bent on destroying the Jewish state. Remember, don't go into Rafah. Don't go into Rafah. They went into Rafah. What happens? Israel finds there are hostages there, Hamas executing hostages right before Israel's literally within moments or hours of rescuing them. President Biden has been wrong. Almost, not completely, but almost every step of the way. And he's been straddling the fence between, I believe, the uncommitted voters, Michigan, of Wisconsin, and trying to, you know, he's almost put a governor switch on Israel, or tried to, the withholding of shipments of weapons and weaponry. Something has changed, Tony. Something has changed in the last 2 weeks. I think Israel realizes, or maybe has finally had this revelation of this moment, that the people that are on Israel's side are on Israel's side. That's people like you, that's evangelicals, but the people who aren't, that Israel just has to do what it has to do. The strike on Nasrallah was a marvel. And what we're hearing here, I'm just outside Tel Aviv, that's where I live, is people that are secular, people that don't even know the Bible, saying that was biblical. Mm-hmm. It was carried out against Hassan Nasrallah. It was biblical in its execution, in its thought, and how it played out. And the pager attack, which was just a week earlier, I mean, Hezbollah, the Lebanese terrorists, were walking around with bombs on their bodies for months until Israel said, now. Think about that. I mean, the level of execution. So everyone here in Israel is, no one's celebrating, but everybody is definitely, I think, just marveling at the biblical scope and scale of what Israel has managed to do in the last few weeks without the help of the United States.
Yeah, I think it's quite amazing. In fact, I was reading a headline over the weekend, Israel, greatest military in the world. And I was just thinking about, you know, the Bible, biblical, how God moves on behalf of Israel so that the world will know that there is a God. And I think it is quite amazing. And not to take anything away from the talent and the skill and the dedication, but you're right in terms of the last 2 weeks. I mean, if you think about it, we're 11, 12 months into Gaza, and they've done in 2 weeks against Hezbollah what's taken them 12 months to do in Gaza, just because their hands were not tied. They just went ahead and did what needed to be done.
Yeah. You know, Tony, the Palestinian Authority has a program called Pay for Slay. And you've probably talked about it on this program, where they pay the families of terrorists who carry out violent attacks, car rammings, stabbings against Jews. And Prime Minister Netanyahu, I think in this, the new, I don't know if it's the new Netanyahu, but just bringing it back to the Bible, I mean, Jeremiah says, unless the sun, the moon, and the stars cease to exist, in Jeremiah, that's Jeremiah 34, right? It says, that's Israel when I will break my promise to you. The hand of God is protecting Israel. Now, there is ingenuity. We have Iron Dome. Right. We have Arrow 3. We have David Sling. We have all those things. But I think those things are birthed through God's creativity, through the ingenuity that we have and just being in tune. But God will never break a promise to Israel. If he breaks his promise to Israel, what Gentile can stand on a promise? If he breaks his promise to Israel, he can't keep his word. And that's not the God that we love and serve.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. But what this is doing in the geopolitical is rearranging the political landscape of the Middle East. I mean, Iran has to be rethinking its aggressiveness with its proxies that are being rolled over by Israel. What's the anticipation there in Israel as to Iran's next move?
Well, you know, I was listening to Amir Sarfati and Jack Hibbs even talking about this and their message on Sunday as well. And Amir Sarfati actually made a great point, so I want to give him the footnote and the credit. Iran can't trust their proxies anymore. Iran is, what Amir Sarfati said is, they've moved the diapers from their head down because they're you-know-what in their pants. The people of Iran and are different than the leadership. And I think it's really important for people there in the United States, and maybe you know and maybe you don't know this, but the Iranian regime is not well-liked by the people. They are actually they want peace just as much as Israel wants peace, but we have, the radicals are in charge there. Tony, did you happen to see over the weekend, there were Iranians, I happened to see an Iranian community in Canada where they were dancing, where they were serving up, like I was saying, that pay for slay program. They will serve sweet treats when they spill the blood of Jews in Judea and Samaria, which some people call the West Bank, and in these Arab, you know, the terrorist hotbeds. But instead of Arabs celebrating spilled blood of Jews, there was an Iranian community in Canada dancing and sharing sweets with the Jewish community in Canada. They were all celebrating the fact that Hassan Nasrallah was dead, that he is dead, and that he isn't just any terrorist. He is the terrorist. Prime Minister Netanyahu said this wasn't just this was the terrorist. I mean, if you want to go back to the Bible, this would be David chopping the head off Goliath, holding the head up, taking it back to him with Jerusalem, because the Bible says that's what he did. He kept it with him. He showed it off to people in his tent, right? Hassan Nasrallah, they're not going to find a head. They probably won't find his body ever. They created an earthquake with so much, these bunker buster bombs that dropped one on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. So they were pummeled. They were pummeled. But just again, Iran must be reevaluating every relationship right now, and not just with its proxies, but including the Arab relationships, which are also celebrating the fact that Israel took out the world, one of the world's worst terrorists, Tony.
Speaking to that, earlier today, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, spoke to the Iranian people and essentially said, look, our beef is not with you. We look for that day when there's peace between the Jewish people and the Persian people. I mean, there is an understanding that there is a division between those who are at the controls of Iran and actually the heart of Iran and the people.
Yeah. Prime Minister Netanyahu has said that multiple times. He has said, spoken directly to the people of Iran. He spoke directly to the civilians in Lebanon. And he told them, he said, our fight is not with you. Our battle is not with you. It's with the terror army that has hijacked. And by the way, there are a lot of Christians. There are a lot of evangelicals in Lebanon. And I don't think we should forget those people.
Yes, right.
There is a terror army there. Hezbollah is mighty, but there are Christians in Lebanon, and they must be suffering.
Right.
Because you think about it, they have to be suffering. Hassan Nasrallah killed Arabs. He killed Arabs in Syria. That's another place where we saw the dancing and the celebrations. So Prime Minister Netanyahu has spoken very directly and clearly that Lebanon, the fight is not with you, the civilians, just like he said to the people of Gaza. He said, Gaza civilians, our fight, our beef is not with you. We have to eradicate this terror network who has sworn to carry out an October 7th attack again and again and again. And Tony, I'll just tell you one more thing. I was in Sderot just a couple of days ago. And if I remember when I spoke with you here in Jerusalem, you were here a few months ago. And I know you took a tour of the Gaza border communities. And Sderot is less than 2 miles from the Gaza border. It was the very first of the October 7th remembrance ceremonies that just happened a couple of days ago. And the next week, everyone here in Israel, especially, and I know people and Jewish people around the world, anybody who has a tie, is a connection to Israel, those wounds that were, they still are very fresh, but any semblance of them sort of, you know, scabbing over, they are being reopened, and they will be reopened. But at the ceremony in Sderot, there was a man, there was a paramedic who evacuated, went back, evacuated. He went back to the Nova Music Festival. He went back and got 20 times. I couldn't believe this man. Hearing his story, I said, this man is a hero. And stories like that aren't being told enough right now because there was just so much devastation in the massacre of October 7th.
Daniel Cohen, we're up against the end of the program, but 30 seconds.
Sure.
How can we in the United States, Christians, evangelicals, those who understand the Word of God, love the Jewish people, how can we be praying right now, given what you just laid out?
Yeah, beautiful, Tony. Thanks for that. The best thing that you can do, everyone, is understand this is a spiritual war. This is a spiritual battle. And some people are prayer warriors. Pray. Get on your face and pray, because we are 1 year into the October 7th. It's been almost 1 year now, and there's still a lot of work for Israel to do. Some people like to give money, and some people, there are a lot of charitable, I won't name anybody right now, but there are a lot of great charitable organizations that you can give money to. Some people actually come here, Tony. I talk to people at Hostage Square. They say, I've flown in from New Jersey, I'm here for 4 days, and I'm going to pick flowers, and I'm going to help people in the field. So pray, give money, or even come here in support. Yeah. You can do that. You can do all those things. But just understand this is a spiritual battle that's going on. God's hand is protecting Israel. He says, you're the apple of my eye. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And just keep Israel. Psalm 122, keep us in your prayers, please.
Well, Daniel, we will continue this conversation here at the Pray Vote Stand Summit coming up the end of this week. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you.
Folks, thank you for joining us as well. Tune in next time for more Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.